Welcome to the Religious Studies Project. Only 60 seconds. And as the 60-second waltz fades away, it's my pleasure to welcome listeners not only here in Edinburgh and in the UK, but around the world. And it's also my privilege to welcome four learned, erudite, witty and spirited players of the game. On my left, I have Mr. Jonathan Tuckett, Mr. Ethan Quillen.
Hello.
On my right, Dr. David Wilson. And on my far right, Dr. Stephen Sutcliffe.
I'm not sure I want to be on the far right.
You don't want to be on the far left either.
And each of
he
the
looks
players,
like a UKIP candidate, doesn't he?
Each of our players will be able to be identified by their different buzzers. So Jonathan goes. Ethan goes. David goes.
That's very good, dude.
And Steve goes.
Sounds like a motorbike.
That's pathetic. A windy lion, I think.
It sounds like a toilet flushing. Yeah, on purpose or something.
For those listeners who may not be familiar with Only 60 Seconds, a game which we have, of course, entirely invented ourselves and isn't based on any other long-running Radio 4 shows, the point of the game is that the four panellists are challenged to speak for one whole minute, or 60 seconds rather, on a given subject without repetition, hesitation, or deviation. By repetition, we mean the repetition of any word or phrase, although challenges based upon very common words such as and are generally rejected. Hesitation is watched very strictly, and a momentary pause can give rise to a successful challenge. Deviations, possibly the most loosely defined of all, means deviating from the subject, but has also been interpreted as deviating from language, deviation from grammar, and deviation from the truth. A panelist is awarded a point for a correct challenge against whoever is speaking, while the speaker gets a point if the challenge is incorrect. However, if we deem the interjection witty, then both the challenger and speaker may gain a point. A player who makes a correct challenge takes over the subject for the remainder of the minute or until he or she is correctly challenged. A panellist also scores a point if they're the person speaking when the 60 seconds expires. An extra point is awarded if the panellist manages to speak for the entire 60 seconds without being challenged. To kick us off today, I'm going to ask Mr. Jonathan Tuckett on my left to speak for 60 seconds, if you can, please, without deviation, repetition, or hesitation on the subject of the sacred.
The sacred is one of the major concepts in religious studies. Indeed, some would say that we wouldn't even have this particular subject area if that topic didn't exist at all. I mean, there are certain scholars who would actually try and deconstruct this topic in order that we can go into something more, like culture studies, which is a very vague concept which has no meaning whatsoever. So
an excess of studying, I think.
There was repetition studies and studying. Was there two studies?
There was definitely subject.
And subject and topic, too.
Well, but you didn't press the button, so that's your own fault.
I was scared to death.
David, that's a correct challenge, and you take over with just over 40 seconds left on the clock.
Oh, good. People hold many things sacred. I'm quite enjoying this red wine that I'm drinking here just now, actually, and some people do indeed use such libations and things in...
He hesitated.
There was a hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation, yes.
So, Ethan, with that somewhat ungentlemanly interruption, you have just over 30 seconds left.
Thank you. Jay Demarath uses the term sacred instead of religion because he believes that it's a better term to use rather than religion.
Damn it!
Too many terms.
Yeah. Too many terms.
Yeah, and a previous life somewhere.
Yeah. David, you've now taken the lead, and you have just 25 seconds to go.
The sacred. I was speaking about the use of alcoholic beverages in performative religion, thinking particularly of the Christian tradition here, with the use of bread and wine as part of the celebration of a shared meal that brings people together, but is also understood in religious terms, being transubstantiation, turning food and drink.
I feel like I should jump in at this point. Literally. Hesitation.
Yes.
That was a hesitation, yes. Yes.
It's harder than you think.
I think we were relatively easy on you there, David. But, Jonathan, it has to be said, with that correct interruption, you have 5 seconds left on the subject of the sacred.
One of the most famous theories about the sacred came from Rudolf Otto, who liked to talk about the concept of the numinous, which is the mysterium tremendum et fascinosum.
Hey! That's the time off.
Boom!
So, by...
Would you like a donkey?
Being talking when the 60 seconds ended, Jonathan, you've got a bonus point. So Jonathan and David are in equal first place with 2 points each. Ethan is coming up the rear with 1 point, and Steve has yet to score.
Oh dear.
I forgot about my donkey.
Can I just check the rules here? Can you interrupt on error of fact, or is it just...
You can tell a deviation from the truth or from fact.
Well, there's a bit of a deviation on the truth there about Rudolf Otto, I think. I'm not sure he talks about the sacred. Well, that's awkward.
That may be a very good point, but it's
I was too
a bit
slow.
Late.
The problem may as well be just delayed time, you know.
That's precisely mysterious. That's deviation from the time period.
That's Heiligen. Do we get extra points if we speak in German or non-Anglophone?
That's deviation from the English language.
Okay. That's deviation.
So you could have got me for the Latin that I just said. When I said mysterium tremendum et fascinosum.
Oh, is that what you said?
Fascinosum. Fascinosum.
That's a deviation from Latin, never mind English.
Can we put in a plea for a more robust signal?
Okay.
Right, I'm going to come in for the cow. Is that okay?
So, our second question is directed to David Wilson this time. And it's going to be, could you please talk for 60 seconds on the subject of the world religions paradigm?
Oh, no. Does anyone actually want to hear about the world religions paradigm? It's very much overused, this world religions paradigm. In fact, I could fill out the whole minute with just the world religions paradigm.
Thank you.
Time and...
The use of what?
You're only meant to press it once.
You repeated the world religions paradigm.
He's allowed to because that's the exact words in the question.
Oh, I see.
But that wasn't mentioned in the rules, so I'm not gonna dock you a point.
I'm not gonna be penalised, right?
Well, he wouldn't get penalised, but David would have got an extra point.
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt because he's a first time player.
Yeah, so we'll not give any.
Nobody's gonna lose a point.
We're on the far left now.
I thought it was sharp. You know, I thought it was sharp, and I've been penalised.
I do realise that
it's a setup.
Initials are SS, and he is on the far right.
So that's true.
The world religions paradigm, for those who are not aware, is that idea that religions are best studied in terms of those traditions which are to be found across the globe, in other words, worldwide. Many people, however, criticise this approach to the study of religious traditions because it does rather... I know.
Jonathan Tuckett, Stirling University.
Repetition of religious traditions.
Traditions. Yes, so that is a correct challenge, Jonathan. Putting you back into the lead. And you have 36 seconds left on the world religions paradigm.
Some of the world religions that come under the world religions paradigm are Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and more recently, indigenous religions, even though...
Challenge for
I think there's far too many isms going on here.
That's true, there are too many.
David, I can't give you a point as ism is only a part of a word. He wasn't using ism. However, we did enjoy your interruption, so I will give you a bonus point for that.
You.
But Jonathan, the subject remains with you.
I'll interrupt again then.
You have 26 seconds left.
As I was saying about indigenous religions or primordial religions, this isn't really one religion as such, but a collection of religions that are found all across the world. Now, excluded from the world religions paradigms are things like Jediism. Fuck.
anybody not want to?
Okay, hesitation. You said the word fuck.
Yes, that's it. Just, shall we say deviation from...
the correct language.
From, the appropriate language.
Deviation from logic in general,
good
I think.
Behavior. Yes, Ethan, you're quite correct with
Thank
that
you.
Challenge. Yeah. And you have... 13 seconds left on the world religions paradigm.
There's a lot of discussion of the world religions paradigm, but nobody seems to really want to put forward an idea of what religion means, what we mean by religions in general. So it's a little difficult to say what the world religions paradigm is if we ignore the fact that we don't actually have a good working definition of religion.
And yeah! And Ethan, what the... That was Jim Cox, in case you missed that. Jonathan is in the lead with 4 points. With? Ethan and David are in equal second place. Steve has yet to score.
Oh, it's a setup.
That all might change, however, in round three.
Possibly not.
As I ask Stephen Sutcliffe, please could you talk for 60 seconds on the subject of habitus?
You'll get yours, Jonathan.
This is where you hope for it, isn't it?
Well, habitus is an interesting concept, principally associated with the work of a French sociologist called Pierre Bourdieu. And the idea here is that behavior becomes routinely configured in certain kinds of ways that reproduce the wider ideology of the society, so that what you do and how you act inevitably reconstructs, without your volition, the kinds of ways in which the culture operates and the kinds of norms which are in play.
Oh. David Wilson?
Far too kind.
There were repetition of kinds, that has to be said.
One repetition of kinds. There's a lot of good stuff about French sociology. Bloody hell, you know. I mean, given all this trivia, you know.
We were just going to let it go. Like a whole
thank you. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. Support from the audience.
Well, I feel that we've both learned something and been entertained here. But that is a correct interruption there from David. So, David, if you could take over the subject of habitus. I'm sure you're happy about that. For the remaining 29 seconds.
Habitus, a good old Latin word that means place, often interpreted as residence. I'm watching a twitching finger here. Living.
Deviation from the topic at hand.
And hesitation.
I think with the hesitation as well. Yeah, okay. I'm going to let you have that, Jonathan.
Sorry, David. I led you in that, you know.
Yeah, you kind of did help him with that bit.
Nonetheless, that's the rules of the game. So, Jonathan, you have just under 12 seconds, 22 seconds, I apologise, left on the subject of habitus.
Now then, as my colleague is pointed out, the concept of habitus was mainly promulgated by the philosopher Pierre Bourdieu. But what most people don't actually realise is that he got it from Husserl.
David?
Husserl?
Bordeaux's a wine.
You can't bring Phil on that.
Can you frame that as deviation, repetition, or hesitation?
Deviation from correct pronunciation, I think.
Deviation from French. So we're going to pass over to David with 12 seconds left on habitus.
Habitus is used in the context of religious studies to try to indicate the location within a society within which an individual might practice his or her religious tradition. And this could be extremely difficult.
Yeah! Hey, David gains an extra point for talking when the clock finishes. Okay, so the scores as they stand. David is in the lead with 6 points. Jonathan's not far behind with 5 points. Ethan's doing well with 3 points. Steve Sutcliffe has yet to score. Next up to speak is Mr. Ethan Quillen.
Oh, crap.
Who I'm going to ask to speak on the subject, why the US is more religious than the UK.
The United States has a specific... Damn it, I hesitated.
And at 3 seconds, Jonathan took it.
That's a remarkably generous approach to your failings.
One of the stupid things about interrupting Ethan there is that I know nothing about how America... Is that counting?
You haven't told us what your... Okay, We haven't heard what Jonathan's
deviation from topic. He began with the stupid thing that Ethan said. That's not.
But he didn't tell us why he was interrupting.
I still said ascension.
Did he?
Oh, sorry.
He did.
Yes. Okay. All right.
He said hesitation.
Yeah. I'll dock myself a point. Deviation from attention. Then.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he hesitated.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. You can do you want to substitute for me at half time?
What just happened?
I hesitated. He called me on that. He started talking. He deviated by calling me stupid and not taking the topic. So I interrupted
him. Well, okay.
Him.
No,
okay,
I called myself stupid.
He said the stupidity of...
Yeah, the stupidity of interrupting you about this topic is because I don't actually know why Americans are more religious.
He said he didn't call you deviated.
This is definitely a deviation from playing the game.
That's very good, actually.
That's a point David here. Ethan, I'm not going to allow yours, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Because you were incorrect.
I know.
So, I think it's still Jonathan's to continue. And he has... Okay, we're just at 7 seconds. So you got 53 seconds still to go on why the US is more religious than the UK.
As I was saying, I don't really have any qualifications to talk about this topic because I don't really know what it is about America that makes it more religious than Britain, for example. This is because I think it's very hard to measure the religiosity of people. I mean, it's asking for a quantitative data on your own belief system, which is very hard to...
That was
nothing to do with the content of the issue. It was just waffle.
Deviation from the question.
Point
I had.
Point for Steve.
Nice, he's on the board.
Yes.
Yes. Up and running.
Well done. Yes.
So, with 34 seconds to go, we pass over to Steve on the subject of why the US is more religious than the UK.
Well, one of the reasons could be that there's a benighted quality to the American psyche which makes them particularly prone to revelations from outer space, messages from angels, qualities from other supernatural and super empirical beings.
I'm done. I did the thing. You're good. That was hesitation and just nonsense. So.
Hesitation? I didn't notice any hesitation.
He breathed.
There
for
was
a
there was a slight.
Yeah,
hesitation.
He breathed. There was hesitation.
There was a slight. The adjudicator said no. I'm sorry.
How many Americans on this panel?
That means Steve gets another point.
Steve gets a point there for.
Has your interruption been down, downgraded?
Yeah, I'm afraid that was an.
So I'm on to two.
Challenge.
Okay.
So Steve,
stop giving him points.
You still have the subject. This is my supervisor. I need to give him some points.
Right? Okay. No, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to
me. Me.
24 seconds, Steve, still to go on. Why the US is more religious than the UK.
One possible reason is that America is quite a young country in many of its populations and particularly prone to religious traditions that expose people to signs of visitation, inspiration, experience. And this makes American people very prone to... Oh, are you prone twice? Oh, okay. Yes, okay.
You got in there first.
I did.
Oh, they all did.
Who did?
Ethan.
Yes. Damn.
Okay, Ethan, a correct challenge. So that's a point for you. And you have come in with 7 seconds left on the subject, which you so admirably made a dull stab at beginning on why the US is more religious than the UK.
The First Amendment of the US Constitution states that Congress shall respect no law establishing religion. It's because of the First Amendment.
Jonathan, I'm not even going to ask you one. You get a point. You have 2 seconds on the topic, which we all know by now.
Part of the reason that America might be deemed more religious
That's another point for Jonathan for finishing this subject. David and Jonathan are neck and neck. They're neck and neck, except Jonathan's neck is slightly longer. And David Wilson's shorter neck is at 7 points. Ethan Quillen has scored 4, and Steve has done very well to come with 2 points at this late stage in the game. So it's now back to Jonathan Tuckett. And the question this time is postmodernism. 60 seconds, please.
In a previous religious studies podcast, I referred to postmodernism as a quagmire of death and destruction for the academic world, which is an opinion that I still hold to. Postmodernism eradicates the need for truth. You have no need whatsoever to justify any claim that you make, so you may as well say whatever the hell you want because nobody can prove you wrong, which means all scientific rigor goes completely out of the window, and it's a complete mess for institutions like ourselves. Without rules, without telling ourselves what is right and what is...
David Wilson?
Without.
Bugger.
Repetition. No, just without.
It's a lawyer's point, isn't it?
So, with 27 seconds left on the clock, it's over to David to tell us about postmodernism.
I freely admit I have absolutely no idea what postmodernism is.
Ethan got there first. So that's a bonus point for Ethan.
You can't stop talking for a minute.
I'm tempted to give David a bonus point for honesty, but that's not the rules of the game. I think Ethan will be regretting that interruption within a few seconds. So Ethan, you have 22 seconds left on the subject of postmodernism.
I would have to agree with David that I don't think any of us know what postmodernism is, and I think the whole point is that none of us would know what postmodernism is. Say postmodernism twice.
David Wilson?
That's not what I said.
Deviation from the facts.
Yes, absolutely.
Deviation from the public record, I'm afraid. Yeah. So it's back to David Wilson with...
No idea.
With no idea. That's a point to Jim Cox.
I have nothing whatsoever to add to my previous statement.
No, I might get my parents to react. I've got something to say about... Bloody hell, I've got something to say.
Repetition.
Yeah.
Also, deviation from knowing your own topic area.
But it was repetition of your previous...
Yeah. Well, you mean I do know something about it.
All around, right. It's bad.
Right, so we're back to Jonathan, as I'm sure everybody's happy
Jonathan
with.
With
15 seconds left to talk about postmodernism.
The problem with postmodernism is that it leads to rampant subjectivism. Subjectivism is the idea... Oh, crap, she's all.
No, just lots of subjectivism.
Yeah, there's a lot of subjectivism. There's a crap shit balls in there.
That's a bonus point for you, and you now have 10 seconds on the subject of postmodernism.
10 seconds to speak on the subject of postmodernism. What I would like to say about postmodernism is that I'm not entirely sure that it is a thing in itself. It is more of an attitude or an approach that we have moved beyond.
Yeah! And that's another point for David. And I think we're moving into our final round here. And we're going to turn back to Ethan Quillen for one more question.
What are the scores?
Or the scores at this point, they are... David Wilson's quite far ahead with 11 points. Jonathan Tuckett's not far behind with 9. Ethan Quillen has 5 points.
Okay, you can skip the rest.
Steve probably won't win. I'm at minus 1.
I actually had some interesting things to say about postmodernism, actually.
You need to buzz in, Steve. There's still one round for you to...
I tried, but the cow was a bit sort of lax.
Oh, you blamed your previous buzzer,
it's
Steve.
It's the bad craftsmanship. He blames the tools for his shoddy work.
No. Craftsmanship? Oh, craftsman.
Craftsman.
Deviation.
No, that would be a good one, yeah.
You're going to pick me up on these things, I'm going to pick you up on this.
Well, that's quite a sharp one.
The cockerel's quite good, actually.
It should be pointed out that Jim is equal with Steve, and he's in the audience. So, for our final round, Ethan, if you could talk to us for 1 minute without deviation, hesitation, or repetition on the subject of E.B. Tyler.
Our good friend Liam Templeton has a... Can I take a breath, man?
Not that long. Hesitation.
What?
No.
Come on. No, I'm good. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think that's...
I'm going to challenge that. Come on, the guy's hardly opened his mouth.
I couldn't even get
that's
to
the problem.
Name.
That's why it's a hesitation.
Yeah. Can we have a challenge to a challenge? Is there a precedent for this?
Yes.
I'm going to allow it.
Allow the challenge.
I'm going to allow the challenge to challenge.
And then Steve gets a point.
Okay, we'll give Steve a point.
Challenge of a challenge.
For a clever challenge.
Clever challenge.
But it remains with Ethan with 58 seconds.
As I was saying, our good friend Liam Templeton Sutherland is a supreme scholar on the idea of E.B. Tyler and the idea of Neo-Tylorianism. At least I promoted you.
E.B. Tyler's a person.
I know he's a person.
He said he was an idea.
You did say the idea of E.B. Tyler.
Yeah, he has an idea. He has an idea.
It can't be an idea of something without repeating its,
its being an itself. Idea. The theory, the idea that E.B. Tyler puts forth. How about that?
You mean E.B. Tyler's ideas?
The ideas of
from grammar, then. No, I'm going to accept.
Well, I can say it's no wonder religious studies isn't a tricky spot. tricky spot, actually.
So that's a point for David for a correct interruption there. And so,
really?
With 50 seconds still on the clock. E.B. Tyler, David.
I'm now going to be embarrassed because I know so little about E.B. Tyler as well. I tend to go by what Liam tells me about him, actually. You were meant to be a bit quicker.
It was soggy. It was cow is soggy.
Go for the sheep.
Oh, yeah. Did that work? I've forgotten what I pressed it, actually.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, absolutely correct.
Oh, yes.
So, Steve, you have... That's just 17 seconds in, so you've got 40-odd seconds to go on the subject of E.B. Tyler.
So E.B. Tyler's main contribution to the present study of religion is the introduction of a concept of animism, which has been very interesting for subsequent generations of cognitive scientists, and Stuart Guthrie has taken up the challenge of defining this term by talking about the propensity to see agency and signs of life in the wider environment, and then to go forward from that to make a theory of religion based on the presence of significant activity in the environment.
I'm sorry, Steve, we were all behind you, but
Damn,
it didn't quite
almost,
happen.
I
think
you
it was
there.
Slightly quicker off the buzzer.
I was almost there.
Yeah, well, thank
very
you.
Good.
That was a bit of a hesitation.
Bit of a sing.
Hesitation, yes.
Hesitation.
So,
yeah.
With 17 seconds still to go, back to Ethan on Tyler.
Thank you.
I would agree that Stuart Guthrie has put forward a very interesting idea, or the process, I shouldn't say idea, because I just repeat myself again.
Ow!
Repetition.
Who was first there? I have no idea.
Me.
Steve again.
Cognitive science of religion takes forward these ideas and theorizes them in interesting ways in order to make clear a new model of religion based on the activity of supernatural agents activating brain centers.
So, at the end of this very special episode of the Religious Studies Project, which we have called Only 60 Seconds, coming up in last place, unfortunately for the first time he's ever played this game, so I think we'll agree he's done very well with the circumstances, is Dr. Stephen Sutcliffe. Not far behind him, Mr. Ethan Quillen.
Yeah!
Doing very well.
Ethan's ahead of him.
Hmm?
Ethan's ahead of him, not behind him.
Have you buzzed?
Lying.
Deviation from truth.
From the truth. That's a correct challenge from Jonathan. Okay, so that puts Jonathan on 10. Unfortunately, you still haven't beaten David Wilson. The winner with 12 points, and well deserved, I'm sure you'll all agree, is Dr. David Wilson. Yeah, what's your interruption?
I'm just letting people know it was me.
No, okay. I thought you were going to tell me off for...
He should lose a point for that.
Well deserved or something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Jonathan.
Deviation from correct use of the buzzer.
Yes, no more points for you. No, you're done, Jonathan. And also, in fifth place, Jim Cox with 2 points. So, in the spirit of the game... That's enough, David, thank you.
Who's in sixth place?
Sixth place is me with Yay. Minus 1 point. To stay within the format of the game, I'd like to say thank you to all four of these magnificent players, plus Jim and myself, for taking part, and the lovely Chris sitting here to my right for adjudicating and watching the scores and the stopwatch. Let's thank everybody who took part. And of course, I would like to say thank you to our audience, although they were promised wine, you know, that they came, and thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who has been listening. This has been a fantastic first year for the project. Lots of good ideas in the pipeline for the coming year. We've got at least another 4 interviewers coming your way from all corners of the globe. We are expanding to integrate ourselves into the structures of various institutions and conferences. And things are on
like
the up.
Fungus.
So I think we can all have a sort of united thanks for listening here. So everyone in the room on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3.
Thanks for listening!